God's stiffest competitors for our time, attention, and affections are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
There are many occasions in life in which you and I are called upon to walk through dark valleys. And every one of us faces an inevitable appointment with the deepest and darkest valley, death itself. But if we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, and if we can say without hypocrisy, "The Lord is my shepherd," we can walk through every one of those valleys, temporal and eternal. We can walk through every one of those valleys in a spirit of victory and in a spirit of joy because of the presence of the shepherd, Jesus Christ, our Savior. The sad thing in our culture is that many people do not know the shepherd. Now, I'd like to take a few moments, if I could, to analyze with you some concepts that I believe grow out of Psalm 23 in verse 4. What do you see as you look at that verse? It's a powerful verse and one that's well known to most of us. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." As I look at that verse, and we're not going to have the time to look at all this, so I'm going to give you the overview, the outline, then we'll look at a certain portion of it. As I look at that verse, there are really three ideas that stand out to me in it as our shepherd provides refuge for us. The first thing I see there is adversity. That's the need for refuge. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." The valleys are coming. From time to time, we'll experience them. Adversity, the need for refuge. The second thing I see here is prosperity, the source of refuge. David says, "For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." That says two things to me, really. I see two things in that expression. One, God's presence, thou art with me. And two, God's peace, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You are with me, that's God's presence, and you comfort me, that's God's peace. But the last thing I see is security. I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. I have no reason to be afraid. I'm made secure. That is the effect of our refuge. The need of it, dark valleys. The source of it, the presence and the peace of God. The effect of it, security. I will fear no evil. We are delivered from fear. So that's an overview of the verse. Adversity, prosperity, security. The need of refuge, the source of refuge, and the effect of refuge. Now let me focus on that first part, adversity, the need for refuge. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." Every one of us is either currently experiencing it or we can anticipate it sometime in the future. And at the very least, every one of us has an inevitable appointment with death, the shadow of death. And we best prepare for the experience here and now so that we're ready for the hereafter. First, let me share with you the properties of adversity, so that you recognize it when it comes. And I'm going to give to you just a little list, a little outline of five properties of adversity. And then, secondly, I want to share with you God's purposes in adversity. Why does God allow adversity to come into our lives? Difficulty, the dark valleys, the valley of the shadow of death. Why does God allow that? What are God's purposes in adversity? First, the properties, and then the purposes of adversity. You know there are 16 purposes, but I'm only going to give 7. And then, thirdly, I'd like to, as quickly as I can, give you a proper response to adversity as it emerges from this verse, Psalm 23 and verse 4. What are the properties of adversity? The kind of adversity that God uses most effectively in our lives usually has at least 5 properties. Let me give them to you in outline form. First, it's irresistible. It seems always to be greater than our ability to resolve it. It has a way of overwhelming us. One, it's irresistible. It overwhelms us. It's beyond our ability to resolve it. We can't handle it. And so we're driven into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he handles it for us. It's irresistible. Secondly, it's multiple. By that I mean, and I would guess that many of you could stand to your feet and give a spontaneous testimony to this effect, by that I mean that it invariably comes in multiples. When it rains, it pours. It's more than a cliche, it's a truism in the Christian experience. It comes in multiples. And then thirdly, it is not only irresistible and multiple, it's incomprehensible. That is to say, when adversity comes our way, characteristically, generally, we do not comprehend what is happening to us or why it is happening at the moment. But that gives us an opportunity to exercise biblical faith. Biblical faith is this. The essence of faith is walking with God obediently and joyfully when we cannot see or understand. We do not walk by sight, but by faith, the Bible says. The essence of faith is walking obediently and joyfully with God when we cannot see or understand. And then the fourth thing I would say about adversity in terms of the properties of adversity is that it's painful. You know, we're told to rejoice and be filled with joy when temptations and trials come into our lives. Not because they're painless, but because of the beneficent effect that they produce in our lives. They are painful, which is not the same as saying that it's harmful. In fact, adversity is very helpful. But we may as well be honest, it's painful. The Bible says, now no chastening, and that's one form of adversity, not the only form. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous, it's painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Hebrews 12 and verse 11. You know, the biblical term for adversity is tribulation. The biblical term for adversity is tribulation. The Greek word is thlipsis. And it's a very powerful word, and it accentuates that nuance or that facet of pain. That was a term which meant in the ancient world to squash or press together, or hem in, or crush. It was used to describe what happens to a grape when the juice is squeezed out of it in the wine press. That's thlipsis. That's tribulation. In the ancient world, it was a mode of execution. It was used of taking a huge stone and placing it on the chest cavity of a capital criminal and suffocating him, squeezing the life out of him. That was a mode of execution in the ancient world, and the term that was used to describe it was thlipsis, tribulation. That's the thing that Paul says we glory in. We glory in that kind of pressure because of the benevolent effects that it produces in our lives. What I'm saying is it's painful. And I want you to know something. Pain is not always wrong. Pain is a very good thing. In the physical realm, pain is one of our greatest protectors. Without its sharp, persistent warning, we would fatally damage ourselves without even realizing it. And the same is true in the spiritual realm. The pain of adversity protects us from even greater and deeper spiritual harm. There's a great value in that pain. The last thing I'd say about it in terms of the properties of adversity is that it's beneficial. Adversity is beneficial. That is to say, adversity, when properly borne, a lot of people grow bitter in the midst of adversity, and my heart goes out to them. They've missed the whole point, the whole purpose, and they squandered rich and great spiritual potential. Adversities, when properly borne, have a powerful effect for good in God's people. Paul could say in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, that adversity, tribulation, produces patience, and that produces experience or character, and that produces hope, patience, experience, hope in those who submit to its discipline. And so Paul could say, we glory in tribulation. They're beneficial. God has a benevolent purpose in allowing us to go through adversity. Those are the properties of adversity. Now let's go a step further. What are God's purposes in adversity? Let me just give you a list here, and maybe you could jot them down if you wish, and they may be of some help to you. There are no doubt some people experiencing at this moment adversity. What are God's purposes in adversity? Adversity is, number one, God's way of getting our attention. And there are reasons why God has to get our attention. God's stiffest competitors for our time, attention, and affections are the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches. Matthew 13, 22. Those are God's stiffest competitors for our time, attention, and affection. The cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches, they have a way of choking out the Word of God and drowning out the persistent voice of God through His Holy Spirit. And so God sometimes, when He sees that happening, needs to get our attention, and so He sends adversity. David could say, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word." Psalm 119, verse 67. Affliction, adversity, brought me back into a right relationship with God. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep God's word. And that's where the blessing lies, in keeping God's word. And then secondly, adversity is not only God's way of getting our attention, but adversity, secondly, is God's way of assuring us of His love. That's an interesting thought, isn't it? It's God's way of assuring us of His love. "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth." Hebrews 12 and verse 6. You know, Satan would like to reverse that concept. Satan will try to convince us that God has forsaken us during periods of chastening or adversity. In reality, chastening or adversity is proof that God is lovingly preparing us for greater glory. In fact, Hebrews 12 and verse 10 says that chastening and adversity is for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. It's God's way of assuring us of His love. Thirdly, adversity is God's way of conquering our pride. Pride is the creature saying to the Creator, "I don't need you." Every man needs God. Every man needs Jesus Christ. No man can make it on his own. Every man must humble himself before the Son of God, the absolute authority of Scripture, and receive Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, and purpose thereafter to live his life according to God's principles. And whenever God detects pride in the human heart, He sends adversity. That's one reason. That's not the only reason. That's one reason God sends adversity. Pride goeth before destruction. What's destruction? Adversity. And a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16:18. What's a fall? It's adversity. The Bible says, "A man's pride shall bring him low." What's that mean? Adversity. "But honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Proverbs 29:23. "When pride cometh, then cometh shame." What's it mean? Adversity. "But with the lowly is wisdom." Proverbs 11 and verse 2. God wants to conquer our pride because He knows the devastating effect of that pride in our lives. God wants to give us His grace, and His grace is free. But there's one essential requirement to receive it. Do you know what the one essential requirement to receive grace is? Humility. God resisteth the proud. It means He dresses up in battle array. That's what the word resisteth mean. It's a military term. James 4 verse 6. God resisteth. I don't ever want to get in a position where God is in battle array against me. God resisteth the proud, but He giveth grace to the humble. So when God detects pride, He sends adversity, and the design of that adversity is to humble us. And why does He want to humble us? Because He likes to see us grovel? No, because He wants to give us His grace so that He can exalt us and fill our lives with meaning. It's God's purpose in adversity.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.